Mysterio Lionel! Extraordinario! Magnifico!
Has the curse of Man United been lifted? If so, I take full credit. Welcome to the Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts or our website, munchamedia.com.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media at munchapodcasts.
So let's jump right in to this game week. So like last week, we have friend of TFC and longtime United fan Harsh on the show. Harsh, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
I'm sure it's good to be back.
Good to be back.
And we're going to talk about why a little later. But before we get to the game of the week, which is obviously Liverpool and Manchester United, let's just gloss over the other results. Firstly, Everton finally won.
Finally won.
2-0, kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
At one point, a defender from Everton, and at one point, Pickford on my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But that was during their worst run of form, and I dropped them, and they get a clean sheet. So, any thoughts on this game? They played West Ham, man, which is playing pretty well.
And yeah. West Ham have got a good squad. They've been playing really well this season. So, for Everton to turn a corner against West Ham, I think it's good on them.
Yeah, I mean, to see Richarlison, I mean, I never saw him as an out-and-out centre-forward, but he's good in the air and he does his thing. But no, man, for me, Bernard stole the show.
Absolutely.
The guy is like a little munchkin. Like, he's shorter than me. I think he's like 5'2 or 5'3 or something. He looks malnourished. But he's Brazilian.
Which puts you at 5'3 and a half?
Boo.
No, much more. I think I'm taller than Messi also.
Okay. That's not a
No, but slick feet. It was so funny. Like, he was put through onto goal and everyone thought he'll shoot. It was a very tight angle. He holds the ball up, turns away from goal. By the time there are two defenders, one behind him, one in front of him, and he still like cuts through them. And it seemed like he'd lose the ball and the keeper came out and he still wriggled it like between keeper and post. So that was a really nice goal. And finally, Marco Silva. I think that was a job-saving victory for him.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Bernard, for me, is a magician, man. Like, when he's got the ball, so I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league right now.
Well, it's funny how, like, the value of these players come out in wins. But then when you have a string of bad losses, obviously you're not going to notice if they're playing well or not as much, unless you have a keen eye for it. So, I mean, great job. I agree. Marco Silva is on thin ice. Probably as much, if not more, than maybe Solskjaer right now or a Pochettino as well. So,
but I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, I read somewhere that Mourinho was kind of eyeing the Everton job, which would be really, really
Mourinho
surprising.
Mourinho eyeing everything, dude. The latest I read was that Real wants him back. So it's tough
to
say.
Zidane? That'd be
I don't know, man. You can't really, like...
Spanish media.
Just read all of this for entertainment and not too much actual information.
Salt,
But good job by Everton, and let's see if this run continues, man. They're in desperate need of it. Marco Silva's in desperate need of it. The club's in desperate need of it. And good return to winning ways against a solid team
absolutely.
In West Ham
and
right
finally
now.
To see Mina and Keane, you know, kind of working well together. That was good. They look solid for the first time this season.
Yeah, right. And Pellegrini's doing a good job with that West Ham squad.
Oh, absolutely.
So to come out 2-0 against them is a pretty good job.
I mean, Declan Rice, I mean, I actually saw somewhere there was this really... messed up article, and it's so funny how popular the league is, but on like the flip side to it, when it comes to the England national team and the English FA, it's so messy when it comes to the media and everything else. So basically, Declan Rice is Irish and he chose to represent England, and it said
Traitor.
I mean, Great Britain, so same thing.
Not really, they have different football teams.
I know Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, but anyway, so
would Roy Keane ever represent England?
Roy Keane only represents Roy Keane.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's fair.
So, anyways, these guys are saying that if he stayed and represented the Irish, considering the performances that he puts in for a team like West Ham, he'll always be lauded, which he rightfully is. But then he's had his run-in in the England team. As per usual, England is not doing well, but they'll still manage to qualify. And they're saying that just because he's representing England, automatically the English media will murder him at every small little thing just because he's not playing for a top six side. So if he plays well for West Ham, it's still not good enough because he's representing England. I just find that really stupid.
Well, yeah, that's extremely stupid. I agree with you. But also with Declan Rice is that none of that should matter. He's so young right now.
He's very young, yeah.
So if his trajectory keeps the way it is, he's probably not going to be playing for West Ham.
Exactly.
Long,
he's
going to go to a top 16.
He's easily going to get picked up by a good team.
Yeah. Right. In fact, I saw James Maddison and Declan Rice being linked to...
Hells yeah. To Hells yeah United.
You want those guys?
Of course.
You want anyone,
of course.
Right?
No, Maddison for sure. Declan Rice, I think that he can still
midfield,
grow a little maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, with the kind of midfield that we have, I would take anyone over. I would take Declan Rice with one leg over Fred right now.
Fred played for you. Full 90
Actually,
minutes,
he
I think,
did.
Yeah.
He played a good game.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Okay. So moving on from Everton and West Ham, we have...
Blues.
We have Blues. Both Blues. Chelsea and Leicester are both on 5-game win streaks.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Congratulations, Shreyas.
Absolutely.
If I was a United fan, like, we're winning the league.
you beat the United Slayers, Newcastle.
But Newcastle did put up a good fight. I don't know what's with Newcastle whenever they're playing Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
They want to murder people, man. And it's always Chelsea-Newcastle is always a game to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think also Steve Bruce and basically this entire squad, they've kind of come into their own in terms of what the setup needs to be,
right.
What the football
they found
their
footing, right?
Yeah, so it does definitely seems like that. So even though like Chelsea came out on top, it's on paper, it's a 1-0 win,
right?
But it could it actually have swung either way? I don't think so.
No, I think Chelsea were dominating the entire game,
right.
But Newcastle were defending really, really well.
Right. It's just that, so Tammy Abraham, as usual, missed the chance.
He hit the bar as well.
Yeah.
He had a couple good chances.
Two headers in like a span of 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that tap in.
Yeah.
But that was amazing defending.
Yeah,
that was, to his
right.
credit, it was amazing defending.
Right.
But yeah, no, it looked like potentially a frustrating afternoon for Chelsea. But
I think Mason Mount slammed a point blank into the goalie.
Yes,
yeah.
That too. I mean, the move was actually really good because he collected the ball with his back to goal and literally in one motion, he just turned around and shot.
Good turn, good shot.
Right.
So he didn't really have the chance to like look at, but he should have probably gone for one of the corners. But to get that sort of power on that shot on the turn was pretty good. Yeah, but he didn't have the best game and it was almost like a masterstroke to get Mount off in the 63rd minute, I believe, to get Pulisic. And Pulisic hasn't been having a good time.
Right.
He wasn't even in the squad for...
But I think he had a great game once he came on.
Once he did, yeah.
Yeah, he in this game, definitely. But during the international break, he's basically Captain America, literally.
Right.
He's a kid, but he's future captain for the US men's national team. I don't know why the US does that. Their abbreviation is USMNT, US Men's National Team. That's how they're quoted officially. Anyways, so he was substituted in the 60th minute. They ended up losing to Canada. I mean, they were getting frustrated losing to Mexico. Like, Mexico is probably the best in North America right
now. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and US-Mexico always have this, like, serious-ass rivalry. To lose to freaking Canada, that was pretty shaky. And the poor guy broke down. Like, he was substituted in the 60th minute. It was love all, nil-nil. And he just hits the bench and he was in tears. He was so frustrated. And everyone was saying that he should look for a switch in January if he's not in Lampard's plans, blah, 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 blah. I'm so glad that... Yeah, he stepped up to the plate. But for me, the shining star is Callum Hudson-Odoi, man.
Yeah.
He looks like he's on fire. He takes on people. And if we thought Pulisic would have been a potential Hazard replacement, you guys are looking at the wrong race. It's Blackie Boy.
Oh. Wow. Oh. Okay. There was no need for that.
Sorry, we just did Watchmen. So,
I agree with you. Callum Hudson-Odoi has looked like... ever since he's come on, it's as if he was never gone. And he's literally like attacking people from that left, creating chances and stuff. So he looks a more potent creator, attacker for that Chelsea squad.
And a bigger threat, right?
Yeah, and absolutely. That actually puts Pulisic's role more in jeopardy.
Right.
But I don't see Pulisic not being part of Lampard's plans.
Correct.
He's still a great player. We saw the difference that he got, he made when he came on.
Right.
So there is still some scope of him, maybe not exactly on that left wing position, which we envisioned, because maybe Hudson-Odoi serves that better.
Yep.
But he's definitely going to play a part. So this 1-0 victory could have been more. Yeah, should have been
easily, right?
And
Man, I took him my fantasy finally.
Same here.
Oh, you took him?
Yeah.
Copycat.
He's my vice captain.
Such a copycat, dude. He told me for 3 weeks straight, he's like, let go of Tammy, he's useless.
Because those are the harder games, now we have an easy run.
Right.
Which is why you didn't let go of him.
I will not let go of him because I feel like there will be a point, either next week or within the next 10 weeks, whenever, when he'll stop missing obvious chances.
Right. He definitely would have gotten a goal this game as well.
If not two, at least
that miraculous
one.
Recovery from.
I don't recall
the defender.
It was DeAndre Yedlin.
Yeah, but also, oh my god, what defending!
Like, yeah, that was insane. I mean, I didn't think he was American because I just looked down upon him.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they
said the guys talking words about Pulisic like a minute back.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean. In fact, like, because was his name is Pulisic and he has, like, East European origins, I never thought he's American. And then, obviously, we know of him from Dortmund.
Right.
So, I was very disappointed that he's American.
Okay.
But, no, it's okay. Let him do his thing. And, yeah, Captain America. I mean, he's got the Constitution and the American Bald Eagle, like, tattooed on his arm and stuff. So, he's a serious ass kid, which is why he was in tears, poor guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's disappointing, man. And he came out with the statement, I don't know if it was this Canada game or before that, where he just voiced his disappointment with the American squad. And he has higher standards than the American squad, right?
Right.
Dortmund and Chelsea.
Easily,
yeah,
easily,
and
right.
The talent that he has. So obviously, it's understandable that he's disappointed. I don't want to talk about Chelsea anymore. Can we move on?
Yes, please.
But wait, let's stick around in London.
Okay, let's stick around in London. So let's jump to, what else is there? Screw Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh my god.
Struggled
these
again.
These guys.
What, what's happening there, dude?
I have no idea. There's something, I'm pretty sure there's something really nasty going on behind the scenes in the dressing room.
Right.
Because this is not Tottenham from last season. This is definitely,
like
everyone, this is not the same team.
Everyone top to bottom is just disinterested.
Yeah.
It's the same, more or less from the top view, it's the same sort of football that they're trying to play.
Right.
It's the same, mostly the players except for Ndombele,
who's been good for them this season.
Who's been great, yeah. But I feel like, and Shreyas and I were discussing this, we saw a tactical analysis video earlier. I think Wainama was, if not as good, maybe better last season at points.
I mean, see, Ndombele is a good player. There's no doubting
right.
that. But I just think the system that they play with Tottenham's midfield, if you look at the goals they've conceded, his positioning is obnoxious. So when they're off the ball, Ndombele is not a good player. And to be in that position and not be good off the ball, that just doesn't work.
I agree. So Tottenham, basically what they do is they have this Bielsa style of narrow from the middle and just play it forward. And then that ultimately ends up creating a lot of space for your fullbacks.
Yep.
Right.
So your fullbacks keep going up and down. And your midfield and your front line stay compact and narrow.
Right.
So now with, I think their best fullback from last season, Trippier, gone.
Right.
It's Danny Rose, Serge Aurier.
Right.
And Ben Davies, we always knew didn't have the legs, right? So those fullbacks are not being able to move as much and contribute to the offensive as much. And because of which the midfield has to widen out to compensate. Because of which, it seems like Tottenham isn't being able to play their football.
Right.
But that can't be it.
Yeah.
That cannot be it. Because Pochettino looks disheveled. Yeah. Harry Kane, I mean, honestly, if Harry Kane's not looking, not scoring goals, he always looks like he's ineffective.
Yeah.
So he's just looked ineffective this season. Son, when he gets the ball, he just literally tries to conjure something up. So.
But he is. I think Son probably right now is the only player who
shining
you can see
right.
exactly
so he's
shining
doing exactly
and
what he did
putting
last
his
season.
Effort.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's doing exactly what
he
did last season.
He hit the post again this game
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
And that was a good effort as well.
And then the missing link of all of these things and what brings them together is Christian Eriksen.
Right.
And we've all seen what's happened with him.
Yep.
Pre-transfer window closing. And even after it closed, like he didn't start immediately. He didn't start their games.
He didn't play this game.
What's happening, man? There's something really...
And to have a player like Eriksen on the bench and still not give him game time, don't even bring him on as a sub, I think that's talking...
Dude.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
it's not like
something
he needs
about
the rest or anything.
Exactly,
right?
exactly.
So that's super weird. I feel like either Pochettino or Tottenham are a result or two away from... Or a bad result or two away from either him getting dismissed or him leaving.
I don't think they would let Pochettino go.
I think if it happens, I think he'll leave himself.
That's a different thing.
Hypothetically, the next two games are either draws or losses. What then?
I think Pochettino might step down, but there's no way that Tottenham can let Pochettino go, especially for the kind of results that he's gotten them. Yeah. Especially last season, they were in Champions League final.
Yeah, that's no joke.
When would they have even thought about being in Champions League final?
Yeah, maybe so. Mourinho to Spurs. Yeah, but I think for Pochettino to leave, I think he'll. I don't know if he wants a break or not because he's been with Spurs maybe 5-6 years and he's built them up to like seconds and thirds, Champions League final. I think there's only so much he can do with the squad. And with Levy being the puppet master that he is, or that he likes to be, I think Pochettino just needs a better project with more freedom.
Exactly. I'm really surprised how they did not bring in more players after reaching a final, after Champions League. They should have bought in more players, bought in more transfers, especially because the Eriksen speculation was already on during the summers.
Correct.
They should have gotten more substitutes and, you know, replacements.
Right. I mean, they did get Lo Celso, but it was... They supposedly justified the season before this where they didn't sign anyone.
Right.
Because they had the new stadium and everything, and then they reached the Champions League final. But no, it's just that, I mean, for all the potential that this squad has, I know you hate Dele Alli.
Yeah, that's another thing that I really want to touch upon. Like, no, Dele Alli, a couple of seasons back, he's young. He's coming up. Last two seasons, this season, I know he scored the goal this game. But again, like, he's been invisible.
Correct.
For two seasons now almost.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured at the beginning of the season.
That's true. But the kind of dominance that he had in the games past, apart from the 2 weeks, I think that's kind of missing now. So,
I agree.
And he really needs to step up.
And they also have Sessegnon, who hasn't played till the season, this entire season. So two of their new signings haven't basically featured for them as well.
Correct. But I don't think so. It's a case of the new signings coming out. I mean, for your new signings to gel well with the team, you have to have a good unit overall working. And whether new signings or not, I mean, and Ndombele has done well enough for a new signing. He scored early on. He's running his ass off. And I'm sure there's a lot for him to learn being that central midfield. But I don't know. There's just something else at play. Whether it's burnout, whether it's a new project, whatever it might be, these guys don't seem like they can cut it. And I feel really bad for players like Kane, Son, Moura, Pochettino himself.
Even Eriksen, man.
Correct. I mean, Eriksen, he's not signing his extension. There's a reason why.
Probably, like, from all the speculation there, the behind the scene, whatever's happening in the dressing room.
Honestly, if I was Eriksen, I would sign an extension.
Exactly.
Why do I want to stay at Spurs if everyone wants me?
But that's the thing, right? If everyone wants me, there wasn't... Forget an offer. There were no rumors whatsoever, except for possibly United.
They were
interested in him, but there were no official bids.
There's a lot of Real rumblings over
there. Yeah, there were Juventus rumblings there, but Juventus like, "Arey, tera contract khatam hone the, to free match."
Free match, exactly.
We're much better at that. But I mean, there's a lot that needs to come out regarding Tottenham State. It's clearly not only football. It's clearly not only backroom. It's a combination of different things. But what that is driving towards is something that might just end up being catastrophic for that club. And a club that's done so well the past, not just last season, but like the past three or four seasons. For them to get to that sort of a situation, and if it's avoidable, then I feel like they should be doing everything they can.
Right.
Moving on really quickly, I want to spend a lot more time on United-Liverpool. So we just gloss over this. City won. No Aguero, but didn't matter.
Yep.
Gabriel Jesus, great header, I think. Great goal.
Great goal, but I think Silva's goal was much better.
Silva's goal was obviously, I feel like it was maybe goal of the week.
For Sterling to return the favor and assist level.
Yeah.
Not just that, Sterling under Guardiola has become a machine.
Yeah,
he's assisting, and the kind of plays that he's making, the runs that he's making, the goals that he's scoring, he's become a world-class.
He's world-class for sure, and they're... giving him a new contract only a year and a half after him signing the old one.
Right.
So because they want to clamp him down. Everyone wants him. Like, Real will be sniffing around, so they want to just raise that price. City could have scored many more, and Guardiola was upset, rightly so, because he thinks that this team cannot win the Champions League given how they're not clinical and
he's
decisive.
Been very, very vocal about it, which is kind of surprising.
That being said, that when Guardiola says that, then you know they're not going to win the Champions League because they have no intentions to doing it. But he's right. They could have been like 3-4-5-0 up on this game.
So
to only get two out of so many chances, it can't be satisfying.
And that too against Crystal Palace, who've had a good run this season. Like, they've been playing pretty well.
And especially their defense has been doing pretty well.
To kind of demolish a team like that and, create those many chances.
Exactly. And if it would have been a different story if Palace was defending well and they sort of etched out a 2-0 win. But in this case, like, they were dominating and they only got a 2-0 win. So that's what he was upset about.
But I think if you had Aguero, I think he would have scored a hat-trick from all the chances. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's
Aguero's clinical. Like, he's been clinical for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk more about Rashford and United when we break down that game. But just talking about like the perfect center forward, yeah, Aguero still fits, but I still believe that this is pretty much his last season being at the top of his game.
Why do you keep saying that?
What's because, but we've been hearing that for years now. Have you not?
Did you think last season was his last season?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
What do you see? What's different this season?
No, it's just that his age. I know that Guardiola is such a hard taskmaster and it's always his way or the highway. And
right.
More often than not, it's justified. Guardiola and Aguero have not seen eye to eye for a very long time. Hmm. And it's just that Guardiola has been unnecessarily dependent on him. Hmm. Which is why he's pushed Jesus so much. Because Guardiola has always been like the kind of character where he doesn't like depending on one player
right.
or a star player. He always has his full unit. We've seen so much about him in that Amazon documentary where he's all about everyone, let's be there for each other. Aguero just never feels like he's a part of that group.
But
according to Guardiola.
But for me, I think I kind of agree on you saying, you know, saying Guardiola and Aguero don't see eye to eye. But I think that was a couple of seasons back
right.
till Guardiola accepted that this is probably the best striker he's going to get
now
in the Premier League.
Praises, honestly. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, Aguero,
like no one can do what he does.
Exactly.
Like
and we saw how, you know, he was trying to push Jesus onto the scene.
Right.
And then he realized Aguero is just much, much better.
Yeah.
Right.
And he just, Jesus kind of, even though he's young, he's obviously got a lot of time on his hands.
Right.
But yeah, Aguero right now for them is the main, you know, main man.
Yeah.
You know, and one weird thing, not weird thing, it's a great stat, but he already has 50 goals. That's crazy,
yeah.
dude. That's crazy.
At this age, yeah.
I feel like he's been in City for a few seasons, yeah. but
right.
the sort of small sprinkles you see of him here and
right.
there, you would not expect that he would already have 50 goals. That's pretty... I mean, that just shows the talent up front.
And right.
For Guardiola, the headache is ki yaar, usko bithana padega aur roega. Par kya kare, 4 goal mil jayenge.
Right.
So... it's a good sort of playing field there.
Fair.
Pretty quickly, the last game, we waited to record today so that Arsenal and Sheffield could happen.
No, that was by chance.
Oh, that was by chance? Okay. I thought we were recording yesterday and then we wanted to wait for the Arsenal game. I was like, what a waste. Lost 1-0 to Sheffield.
Hooray.
Pepe is not clicking, man.
He is not cutting
his,
it.
His goal, his finishing is not. His gameplay is not bad.
What's the point?
He's a okay. So
no, he's right now. He's not creating. He's I've seen him be really, really selfish inside the D.
Right.
And you can yeah, you can cut three players, but what's the point?
Exactly.
If
you cut six players also regularly, and you come face to face with a goalie on goal, but right. you don't hit your shot on target, right. what's the point of those?
It's no one close
players?
To the frame. His shots.
Yeah.
He's trying to hit the people behind the stands. Yeah. Like.
No, I'm just saying for an Arsenal signing, for Emery, for someone coming from the French league, Ivorian winger, I think he's done well enough considering Arsenal standards. It's just that everything else around Arsenal hasn't been great. And
but I think, isn't that something to say about Arsenal standards then? Because Lacazette came in and I think he made an immediate impact.
I
when
feel
Lacazette
like he always
came.
Does whenever he doesn't start.
Exactly. Yeah. So Lacazette comes in and he makes an, you know, even when he was just bought out,
yeah.
even when he was new to the league, he was yeah. new to Arsenal, he came in and you could see the difference that he got to the team.
Right.
I don't see that happening with Pepe right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. But I still think that Arsenal are extremely disillusioned by their results this season.
Right.
They've had such shitty games and escaped with victories and draws. I was so happy to see Sheffield not just like defend for their lives. They outplayed Arsenal, which was so much fun to see. I mean, yes, Arsenal had one or two really good chances. They should have equalized and probably won. But to defend against Oba, Lacazette, Pepe, Ceballos, that was some good fun.
That was. And really quickly, Lundstrom.
Yeah,
is
killing it.
The Achilles heel for anyone who doesn't have him on fantasy.
I
every week
him.
I was like, should I get him?
I have
kya
him. Yeah,
I learned my lesson 2 weeks back.
2 weeks. I've had him for like 5-6 weeks.
and the clear reason is he's listed as a defender and he
right.
plays as mid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he racks in assists and goals.
Yeah, and not just a defensive midfielder. He's up front.
Up front, yeah.
He's attacking. Like he plays central midfield. He's a huge guy. He's tall. His ball control's insane. There are so many replays of him where he's on the byline. There's a high ball up. He's holding off two players and he collects the ball like he's freaking Berbatov. So he's
and he's
surprise.
Not that expensive.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, he's probably one of he's in the dream team.
Yeah.
In FPL and he's I think what 4.5, 4.8.
He started out at 4.5. Must be 4.8.
4.8
right now.
Yeah. Which God. Is a bargain.
Yeah.
I need to get lunch. Jesus. Anyway, so that's about it. And we've waited long enough.
Yeah.
Let's dive right in.
Yeah, for the future Premier League champions, United.
<Hell's it. laughs> Let's do this.
So just in case our listeners, you guys don't know, we're going to be talking about Manchester United and Liverpool. 1-1 final result.
Right.
Harsh is just smiling.
Yeah, because finally we just saw United players running, and I'm just so happy for that. Pereira showed up. I was shocked.
Yeah, fantastic.
Pereira showed up. His crosses, the kind of commitment that he showed. Right. Fred, the kind of commitment that he showed. McTominay for me is always good. It's always a blast watching McTominay.
Scottish
James,
terrier.
The kind of heart James plays with.
He got his wind knocked out twice.
He did, but he just got up and kept running. Yeah. Like, that's what I love about the guy. He's a kid. Yeah. He got knocked out by Virgil van Dijk, the best beast freaking defender.
It was like a clothesline from wrestling.
It was. Yeah. It literally looked like it, right? And this guy just gets up again and again and again and just torments defenders.
He has heart, no doubt.
And not just that, Rashford, much needed international break for him.
Yeah.
Because he clearly showed up after the game. He was so much more composed. He put in his all. He was running throughout. And
but just
got a goal for it.
Talking about Rashford, so I think in the first half, or was it by the time he scored his goal, he had lesser touches
than both the keepers.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, to see Rashford do his thing, you want to see him run. You want to see him run when someone like Pogba can pull out those passes. Right. You want to see him take on players. He has decent finishing. Playing that number 9 center forward role for United, you are limiting him so much.
Absolutely.
And even Mourinho said the same thing. He said, you know, I had Zlatan, I had Lukaku. You need those target men. For Rashford to be that, it just doesn't make sense. Martial, okay, somehow he just thrives better there. Maybe on the left, but he scored more goals playing center forward.
Right.
He has a knack for getting those typical FIFA composure shots to goal. Rashford is not that player for me. And when he's not involved in the game, Rashford just doesn't look like he's putting in the effort. He doesn't look like he's enjoying his football. He's frustrated looking at long balls, running at long balls.
Right.
So the longer this happens, like we were talking about, I think it was good to see Hart, yes. It was also insane to see how dependent maybe Liverpool are on chicken tikka masala.
Mo Salah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because without him, they were just headless.
They seemed toothless, yeah. In this game, they barely had any shots on target.
Yeah.
So let's actually break down United's setup.
Yeah. Right.
I think Ole threw a wrench in Jurgen Klopp's plans.
Right.
He fielded a 3-man backline with 2 wing-backs, the legendary Ashley Young.
Yeah.
And
Ashley Young had a good game, guys. What are we talking about?
I think he gets hated way more than,
than deserved,
he's supposed to. But that's also because, like, he's playing all over the place. He can't be a proper left back in a 4-man back
line. And maybe he's not young anymore.
He's not young for sure. So Wan-Bissaka and Young played wing backs, essentially. Yeah. And he had Marcus Rojo, Lindelof, and Maguire. And that definitely must have thrown off the Liverpool team, because this is the first time they fielded a three-man back line.
And I think from the game that I saw going, you know, watching the entire game, you could just see he gave those instructions that just shut down Alexander-Arnold-Trent and Robertson.
And that's
them and their crosses, because you can see the kind of havoc they can wreak.
Right.
With those crosses coming in, and you've got Mane in the middle, and Firmino
in the
middle.
He wouldn't have fielded a 3-man backline if Salah would have been playing.
Right, I think so too.
Because Salah, the threat that Salah is off ball, right?
Yeah.
You have to have an eye on Salah. Yeah.
Right.
And if you're a centre back or even a left back, right back, if he's moving around, you have to keep up with him rather than focusing where the ball is. So as soon as he knew that it's going to be Mane and Origi, and Firmino keeps dropping back, so he knew that he can afford a 3-man backline to capture these guys, and the wing backs can focus on Liverpool's full backs, which are Alexander Arnold and Robertson.
Right.
So that kind of worked in their favor, but the goals didn't come until that controversialish foul. Do you guys think it was a foul?
I don't think it was controversial. I think it was Origi, right?
Yeah.
Who went down. And I think it was very, very soft. If football right now, if he keeps stopping for challenges like that, the game is not going to flow. I think that the referee saw that. The referee didn't know it's going to, you know, it's going to become a counter-attack and become lead to a goal. He honestly thought it's not a foul, and that's why he didn't. And even VAR checked it, and they obviously went with the referee's decision.
Yeah, right. I agree 100%. I mean, VAR or no VAR, no referee's going to give that foul.
Right, exactly.
Also, I think Origi seemed so ineffective. So I think just at losing the ball, he was frustrated. He just threw himself at the slightest bit of contact.
Right.
Also, from multiple angles, it looked like he was tripped, which is where I think the controversy was, that it was a foul, but it wasn't. He was already on his way down.
Yeah.
Being
way before, yeah.
Theatricality. So, it wasn't a foul for me. No chance. And funnily enough, Klopp is such a proponent for VAR, especially when it comes to offsides. And he said no offside goal should ever count. After this match, I don't know if he's still in for VAR because they not only had this goal, they had a goal disallowed as well. But that was clear.
That was a clear goal. Any handball within the D, when you're attacking.
Any amounting to a goal, mistaken or not, is for the offensive side, is counted as handball. Exactly. But yeah, if I'm Klopp, I'd be slightly worried to sort of not be able to dominate, whether Salah, no Salah, to be able to worsen United's sort of condition, considering the momentum and the run that you have. It's almost like a chink in the armor that you're not sort of invincible anymore. And if I'm Guardiola, I'd be smacking my fingers. I'd still say congratulations to Liverpool at every post-conference and say that congratulations, Klopp, you already won the league.
Right.
You can't catch up.
Mind games.
Yeah, but freaking behind the scenes, I'd be killing myself. I mean, I'd be killing it to just wait for the opportunity. They're from 8 points now, they've come to 6 points.
Right,
yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun running
that's
up to December.
Obviously what Guardiola is doing. I mean, on the face of it, he has this, hey, congratulations. But then behind the scenes, you know, he's just like...
Planning to murder him.
But I think apart from the defense, which kind of locked down, except maybe the last... Well, the first half was very, very clearly pro-United, right? United killed it. They had the game in control. And for a little bit in the starting of the second half as well, I think the end of the game, I personally feel Liverpool deserved the equalizer because they were hammering. United was just...
But I think you could see the frustration on Klopp's face because the kind of substitutions that he made, these players, the players he fielded have not played in a while.
Yeah.
They've not been featured in a Liverpool team for a long while.
That was his
while.
Counter to Ole's plans.
Naby Keita, Lallana, I mean, he's like, inke liye tar kuch random karna padega mere ko.
Except,
and just two players.
Which I think he should have started with. He got Ox in.
Ox had a good game.
I think Ox is a great player.
Yes.
He's a great, great player.
Right.
It's just because of that front three that Liverpool has.
Exactly.
He doesn't get that much playing time. But when he does, he's always effective. Right. So as
and he got one shot off, which was very
that
close
was
to the post.
Insane.
It was too fast. De Gea would have not gotten
it was just like slightly
easy.
Off course. Right. So Ox came on and then Naby Keita, I think, didn't do as much. And then Lallana came in pretty late.
Yeah.
But those three signings were difference makers, right? So it was, it's just...
But for United to defend so well throughout the second half as well and then concede a goal like that, I mean, where was that cross going? It was going nowhere.
It came
It just dragged its way through into the D and suddenly just found Lallana. Rojo just ran the opposite direction for some freaking reason.
Rojo.
That's Rojo.
That's
Rojo. I don't blame him. That's him. Anyway, so, and then to, concede a goal like that in the 85th minute when you're leading Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think that's something that Ole really needs to work on because that's happened to us a lot of times this season where we've been leading or we've been, kind of like we're at a stalemate with the other team.
Right.
And then we've given away a goal after 80 minutes.
Right.
And that's happened so many times to United.
Well, so the counter to that is no other team has scored more goals post minute 85 than Liverpool.
Liverpool, right.
And that's also because the amount of pressure they put on the team, even world-class teams, and this is not to call Man United a world-class team right now, but generally really great teams have problems with that.
Absolutely,
So if you know that you've gotten the goal that you can get from this game, and apart from that, it's just... So you saw the difference in their defense. Their defense earlier was to nullify the fullbacks of Liverpool.
Right.
And then later on, they weren't even focusing on them because Robertson and Alexander-Arnold were just throwing in cross after cross like 70th minute onwards.
Right.
Yeah. So after that, it's just a matter of trying to absorb as much.
Right.
And obviously, there is a great chance that one ball just goes through.
Right.
And it's like right person, right time. Lallana hasn't scored for like 2.5 years, man. So it's not like he is clinical or yada, yada, yada.
This is his goal after 29 games or something, I think. His first goal after 29 games.
He hasn't scored for the longest time. Yeah. So I could see that one goal coming. That was on its way. And the improvement that United probably needs to do is in the mentality of the players. That this whole Jose Mourinho style, park the bus after you score a goal, does not work with younger, more inexperienced players, right? Because they tend to lose focus. You literally lose focus for 30 seconds, you could go.
I think that's exactly what happened. So Martial is one of my favorite players. Martial came on in the 84th minute.
Right.
Rashford goes off.
Right.
And Rashford is kind of the kind of player who runs at people.
Yeah.
Even when he's off the ball, he will run at the defenders. And Martial is not that player.
Yeah.
He's the one who'll stay up, who'll just kind of, hold his zone and wait for the ball to come to him.
Yeah.
And that build-up going of the ball going to Robertson it was from where Marshall was standing.
Right.
And Marshall was not, you know, kind of leading charge or, you know, running towards the defender to get the ball.
Right.
And I think that's something that Ole should have realized. He shouldn't have gotten Rashford off. He should probably have gotten Pereira off.
And played both Rashford and Martial.
Yeah, exactly. And
interesting, yeah.
So I think for me, I think that's where we kind of like switched off, where the minute he thought, let me get Marshall, give him some playing time as well, because he's just back from an injury. But I think that kind of worked against us because we lost a runner on the field. Right. And that just led, the very next minute, we've got a counter attack. It was that build up.
Yeah, it was a build
the up. Ball, yeah, just went off to Robertson and it was played through the midfield and Marshall just wasn't attacking.
That's true. And also, I think the few times that United got the ball, especially the latter part of the second half,
right,
where they actually looked threatening on the counter.
Right.
And it was only, I think both times it was only James and Rashford against the entire Liverpool backline.
Yep.
But those guys are so damn quick.
They're running very fast.
They'll put any defense in display, man. So these guys, I always thought like when they started off the season with Rashford, Martial and James, they were pretty good at attacking-wise. They were getting their goals. They were piercing defenses and stuff. And it was the defense that was letting them down. And in this game, it kind of held its own.
Right.
So speaking of their setup again, they ended up no Pogba this game.
Right.
Fred started. Were thoughts on Fred?
I think this is probably the first time I've seen him turn up.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, can't be wrong there. Yeah. I feel like when he came though, like a game or two, he looked pretty interesting.
I think he's not even had too much game time prior to this. Yeah. Like the past couple of games, he's not had too much time on the field.
Right.
And now that he's getting consistent football, he's just, you know, kind of like getting better. And I think he's needed that. And especially the absence of Pogba has kind of helped his case, if nothing else.
Right. So do you think there's a possibility now that, I don't know if he'll continue with the three-man backline, but that could be one thing that he sees, okay, this kind of works.
Works, right.
Especially with teams with like a high potent attacking threat, I can use my wing-backs to nullify them. And B, the other thing being that now he sees Fred has performed decently in the center midfield role. Should I play him and McTominay there and push Pogba up front?
Yes. I think that should be the course forward. Even though Fred himself is more of an attacking player himself.
Yeah. Right.
But Pogba for us playing defensively, I think that kind of nullifies his game.
Yeah.
And he needs to push forward. We've seen the kind of threat he is when he goes forward, the kind of balls that he can create, the kind of passes, the kind of moves, the 1-2s that he can do near the opponent's box. And I think that's something that we really, really need right now. Something creative going on there in the attacking midfield area.
Right. So with wing backs on the field, you don't need two deep lying midfielders essentially, because you have two guys parallel to one midfielder who can be a McTominay, and then you can field your Pereira and your Freds and your Pogba have them do more or less attacking stuff. But it remains to be seen whether he's going to continue with the three man backline or not, because if one of his centre backs get injured, who comes on? Phil Jones?
No. I think he'll be happy if Marcos Rojo gets injured.
Tuanzabe comes on.
He was injured for this game as well.
Right. No, because he was supposed to, with the lineup that came out before the game, Tuanzabe was supposed to start, and then he got injured during the warm-up. Hip injury, and Rojo came on for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Tuanzabe, for me, I think he's been fantastic. Apart from that small error that he made that led to Arsenal's goal in the Arsenal game, I think he was phenomenal. When he was playing wing back, even when he was playing center back for us, I think Tuanzabe has been a shining light.
Yeah.
And I think he can, you know, he can be a really, really good prospect for us.
He's interesting.
Congolese origin, right?
Right.
His story is pretty cool. When he came to England, he didn't even know how to speak English.
Oh, wow.
And like United sort of been like the second family to him. And for him to like repay it and like show.
And he's been United captain, the under 18s and
younger
teams. Yeah, right.
So, yeah, definitely looks like an exciting prospect. But I do not think he'll continue with a three-man backline. I think he'll go back to a 4-3-3.
So, this was a Liverpool special?
This was a Liverpool special.
I don't think so. I think he might just experiment with some smaller teams now just to see how it plays off with different teams as well. And especially once he has Tuanzabe and Pogba back, I think he'll want to experiment a little more just to see what he can do with his players, the kind of squad that he already has right now.
Right.
And with Marshall back, obviously, he can be the one leading the line and have Rashford back on the wing again.
But James think about teams that, and this is more standard in the EPL, who play like a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1 or something like that. In that case, this United lineup doesn't work, right? Because unless it's a team like Liverpool that does a straightforward 4-3-3, where there are three men dedicated to your front line. For example, Chelsea or a Tottenham,
Right.
He can't play a three-man backline against Tottenham because the wing-backs, according to Tottenham's style of play, right. their full-backs have so much space up front
right.
that if you have your wing-backs forward, then you're going to right. yeah, you'll stretch too much.
Yeah.
So it definitely doesn't apply for all games, but we've seen managers do it.
Right.
Conte does it, still does it, regardless of which team he is in. He will always play a 3-5-1 or a 3-5-2, sorry. Yeah. And maybe this is Ole's thing right. now. But I hope it's not one of those like, oh, three-man backline is my thing.
Same here,
three
same
games
here.
Win, United's like, jeet gaya hai, and then like seven losses in a row.
I just want him to experiment with the squad because we've seen the squad depth is lacking right now.
Right.
So I think to experiment is the only thing that he can do right now.
Yeah.
And especially with smaller games coming up right now against not very big teams, right. I think he should try something out, something new. He can maybe switch it up during the halftime or whatever.
Yeah.
But just to see how it plays out, how, you know, what else he can do, which players he can accommodate where, I think that'd be a good place to start.
Well, safe to say that he answered his critics, including us, right?
Not really, no. I think it's great to see... I know one thing that Ole does well, and that's make his teams play with heart. Make his teams play...
Right.
At least try to show a united kind of way of playing with that, with ambition. Besides that, I don't think so he has any other...
Yeah, I don't think he's a tactician.
Yeah.
I think he's just a guy with a big heart. he's like a teddy bear, man. Like, you just want to hug him and
yeah.
just hope that everything's going
to
be fine.
I would pay good money to get...
Poch?
No, angry Ole dressing room footage.
Oh.
I just want to see how he gets angry at his players. Even if he it does.
He's throwing pacifiers.
Oh, God. Anyway, so entertaining game, man. Nonetheless, even though the goals weren't there, I think Salah being on would have made a difference.
Absolutely.
I think Pogba being on would have made a difference
as
well. So, and Martial, if he would have been fit and starting this game, it would have made a difference as well.
But thank God for Martial being back.
Hopefully, they can go back to their beginning of the season run in terms of at least the attacking threat they pose.
Right.
Daniel James, man, kid has heart.
Yeah.
Can't take anything from him.
Got the wind knocked out of him twice, still stands up.
Yeah. Still stands up, still does his thing. And
he's
keeps
so threatening
running,
when he's running towards you, man. He's, the pace that he's got is frightening.
It literally is frightening. Right. It's a considerable difference between his speed and the next person's speed,
you can see
it on TV over, and that's a telling sign.
Right.
I think the only thing he needs is experience, which he's getting.
Absolutely.
So maybe next season or a season after that, he'll be a top class footballer.
Right.
Any other closing thoughts for this game?
I think just on the James part, that cross that he put in. If you remember, there was almost a ditto word for word cross that he put in a few minutes before. And there was no one.
Nobody to collect a try.
There was no one there. And Rashford almost like made a face like, oh, was I supposed to run for that? Was I not? And thank God he made up for it.
Right.
But I think it was more to do with how easy it is to fool Matip. Like, if you isolate Van Dijk, we know the fullbacks are not known for their defensive prowess. They're attacking. Robertson runs his ass off. Great.
Right.
I've never seen Alexander Arnold praise for, oh, that was a good defensive tackle. Oh, that was good covering.
Mm.
It's always been about his crosses, about his bombing up front. So if you negate Van Dijk, which he was for that counterattack, and they were asking for a foul, that cross, Mate was in no man's land. And if you see just before the cross, when he's sort of looking at his peripheral vision and he sees Rashford is right next to him, behind his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And he assumes that Rash is going to make a front post run. So he sticks around there. And by the time the balls come in, he's not even close enough to make an attempt to clear the ball, to get in the middle, or to cover Rashford.
Right.
Rashford just already, and he's left his keeper almost like, oh, maybe you can help me out.
No, but I think that's more to credit to, you know, give credit to Rashford there, because I think that last minute when he saw when James was about to put in that cross, and I think he realized the ball's going to come in a little more deeper than he eventually thought. And I think he changed his run accordingly, and he just went towards the left.
Right.
And even the ball from James was pretty good.
Credit to James for that cross.
Right,
it was a very De Bruyne type cross, right? Like piercing. And those are the sort of balls that leave everyone confused.
Right.
Because only the person at the receiving end knows what it is because of training.
Exactly.
Like, he knows what the ball is going to be. But the defenders, the quality of that ball is, it's neither here nor there.
Right.
So you don't know which side, goalie or defender, is committing to it.
Right.
And both are, it's a split second. So you don't have much time to like communicate or decide. So those are the best crosses, according to me.
Right.
That's why De Bruyne kills it.
Correct. I mean, nothing taking away, not to take away from Rashford or James, but I don't think so. I think Matip is very nicely camouflaged by Van Dijk, and the other option is Gomez. He's young, recently offered a contract extension.
Is Lovren still in the picture?
He is. He's still in the
best defender in the world.
Yeah, best defender.
Dejan. Self-proclaimed best defender in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. So
you agree with his assessment, or you agree that he's the best defender in the world?
I agree with both.
Okay.
He's so good that he's like, I don't need to play United. Yeah. United don't deserve my presence. But no, I don't think so. I mean, Liverpool's defense has always been suspect, and their threats always are an attack, off the ball, running like
crazy. But has the defense been bad? I think the defense has been phenomenal lately.
I mean,
they've been tight, dude.
When you say really defense, tight. We mean Van Dijk. As soon as you remove Van Dijk,
no, AJ, I mean, when I'm
talking... Six points clear on the tops, no
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, not just that. I think Robertson and Alexander-Arnold Trent, even though you might not give credit to his defending ability, he is really good on the ball.
He's good. And I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just saying that if you get at Liverpool and things don't work for them, then they just crumble, which we saw yesterday, day before.
See, so with Liverpool, what I feel happens a lot. So if you just compare Wan-Bissaka to TAA, with Wan-Bissaka, usually because he's playing at a four-man back, he is in a lot of positions where they want to defend the wing, right?
Right.
So there'll be an attacking player in Wan-Bissaka's area, which Wan-Bissaka will be defending. With Liverpool, if you notice, a lot of their attacking threats or when they're defending, a lot of the threats that come to them don't come from the
wings. Right.
They come from the center, because that might be because of how Robertson and TAA are positioned or how the play of position. But it's mostly the center backs and, you know, a lot of times Fabinho coming back as well.
Right.
Henderson coming back as well. Wijnaldum coming back as well. Yeah. So it's from the middle. And maybe that's why Alexander-Arnold and Robertson don't have as many defensive opportunities as a Wan-Bissaka does.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're bad defenders. Maybe we haven't seen enough of them. Maybe they haven't been put to test enough.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a weakness that other teams can exploit. But you'll know that these two guys will be attacking threats more than defensive stabilities because you have Van Dijk, man. If you have Van Dijk and if you have Alisson, worst case in your goal, you don't need to worry about that much. And if your play from the midfield is filtering out balls that come to you,
then
you don't need a potent left back and a right back as defensive stability.
Right. And plus, this is just one goal that they've conceded. I know, though it's United that they've conceded against, this is just one goal that they've conceded.
Exactly, yeah.
They've conceded the least amount of goals in the Premier League. They have, six goals against them?
Right. No, but...
Which is...
That's not true.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but it just seemed very out of character to see Liverpool the way they played. Except for that burst that finally came in at the end. And to see them supposedly so dependent on Salah for Firmino and Mane to be almost not there the whole game.
I think it's got more to do with the problems that Origi faced more than the problems Origi they faced really because of Salah's absence.
Right, but is that Origi's problem or a consequence of just the way the squad is? Because Origi is a center forward. He doesn't play out wide. And yes, he had some level of success towards the end of last season. He started a few games this season. That's not his position. Which is why, if he has a bad game, it's so weird that he messed up trying to be theatrical and they conceded on that play.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, if I was Guardiola, I'd be licking my fingers. I'd be slapping the backside of my players and be like, boys, you got this. You got to be ready for this. We're going to pounce.
Yeah. I mean, they are ready. Yeah. No, without a doubt, they're ready. And I mean, Liverpool's lost twice, drawn once. Oh, sorry. City's lost twice, drawn once. And now Liverpool finally has dropped points as well.
Yeah.
Still 6 points clear on the top, man.
Yeah.
And, once Salah's back.
Yeah.
Origi, this was one bad game from Origi.
Yeah.
Beginning of the season, I think he did a great job as a shoo-in for, I think it was one of Salah or Mane at the beginning of the season. Right. And last year, he completely replaced Firmino towards the end of the season.
Injured,
And they literally change up that front three, becomes a diamond two and one. So Mane and Firmino sort of, Mane and Origi sort of play as forwards and Firmino just lies behind them.
Right.
So it was one off. Also, their preparation for this game, I'm pretty sure, was against a four-man backline.
Yeah.
I think that changed a lot of things for these guys, because that three-man backline with those wing-backs literally nullified both Arnold and Robertson. And
initially,
those three couldn't do much then.
Yeah.
And we know that Wijnaldum, he's great, but he's great as a support player.
Yes.
Henderson is Henderson. I have no thoughts on Henderson. I'm so on the fence about whether he's a great player or he's absolute shit.
Yeah.
And Fabinho is a deep-lying guy.
Right.
So those guys aren't the attacking threats, right?
Correct.
And then when you bring on Oxlade-Chamberlain, you see the difference it makes.
Right.
So maybe he'll play, if he has to play Origi, he'll play it with the Ox or Shaqiri or someone in there as well, right? To just make sure that the lack of Salah's off-ball movement doesn't get in the way of their attacking. But overall, I mean, great game for United, man. Ole save for one more game at least.
It'd be really interesting
for the time being.
Yeah, but it'd be really interesting to see how Liverpool, you know, reply now. Now that people are kind of questioning them just because of one United goal. I don't know why. But yeah,
I mean, more than that, it's 1 point, right?
That's huge. I know, but they play Tottenham next, which is again going to be another big game. Then it's Aston Villa and then it's City. So the next three games for them are going to be pretty crucial.
And Villa, jeez,
I did not know that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh God, 6 points doesn't look that good. Now,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not.
Wait, Arsenal's in there?
No.
Oh,
it's Tottenham, Aston. It's Tottenham, Aston Villa, and City.
Tottenham City?
Tottenham, Aston Villa, City.
Aston Villa. Okay, yeah. Aston Villa's.
Give them some breathing space there, maybe.
Norwich 5-0. They beat Brighton yesterday 2-1.
They're on
some sort of a roll.
I feel like Aston Villa, they'll be able to tackle for sure.
For sure.
How long is Salah out for? Any idea? No?
No, I'm not aware of.
I think he had a problem at Leicester, right?
Yeah.
And that's since then, that knock.
Regardless.
But yeah,
I mean,
it was a knock. I don't think it's a serious injury, though.
Yeah. Right. City-Liverpool is going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be great. But I think it's all this hoo-ha is just because they've been killing it and we expected them to pounce on United's supposed struggles. And it's just the manner in which they lost. It's not so much the scoreline. It's that it was so out of character. And yeah, it's great for the remaining 19 teams to see Liverpool play like that.
Right.
Interesting. So this brings United to
what position?
Same? Did they change? Did they come up?
14th.
Oh, they went further down.
No, they were already 14, I think.
After all that discussion, maybe we should trim this down to like a 5-minute quick overview.
Liverpool stays on top, obviously.
Right.
Man United, how is this possible? How are they at 14th? I don't get it. Really quickly, we didn't even talk about fantasy because I think it was collectively the shittiest week everyone had.
It was a very, very bad week.
Average,
I think average
is 37.
Average is 30.
30 or 37. Or
that's weak. Shreyas, actually, I was doing pretty well against you and then Lundstrom came
in. You wish, you thought.
Lundstrom, man, he's like my Achilles heel. I'm getting it. No matter what, even if I take a points deduction.
No, don't do a Harsh. That's called doing a Harsh.
And so we have Champions League matches coming up
finally
now.
Finally.
Yeah.
I want to see Tottenham now, even though they're not playing the strongest team, but they're in a pretty bad position in that group.
Yeah.
And looking forward to these games. Maybe we'll do a Champions League recap episode this week. Maybe not.
For sure. Yeah, we've got Inter Dortmund coming up.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Hazard's now the proud father of...
Four kids.
So he missed the last game. Wow. They lost to Mallorca.
Yes.
So they're off the top of the table now. Barca's top.
Yes.
So there's a lot of pressure
on Hazard.
No, a lot of pressure on Hazard to perform.
What does he want with life?
He has three brothers, so he's just continuing family legacy.
Wow.
Okay. You're saying as if he told you, like, he's like, stress, bhai, I have fourth kid.
I love Hazard, we go way back.
Yeah. Or you go way back with him. He doesn't know who you are.
He knows I exist.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So that about wraps up this week's episode of the Football Corner. We shall see you, hopefully, another episode this week to recap the Champions League games. If not, the beginning of next week to recap Champions League as well as the Premier League game week. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts or our website, munchermedia.com. Bye-bye.